Wonderful. Thank you for that. One of my most favorite songs that the group sings, and appreciate that. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 1. And dare I say it, I think I'm going to be short tonight. And I know, I don't want to get your hopes up, but Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to cover the last point of part 2. So if you probably looked in your bulletins, the note says, Courageous Faith, Part 2, Continued. All right, so it's been a while since we've been in the book of Joshua, but Lord willing, we'll just continue to look into this particular passage of Scripture and through the book of Joshua as we have the liberty to. And it's been a good day. We had the second part of our starting point as well, and really good to cover our doctrines. And it's so important, isn't it, to know what we stand for and what we believe in. And it was just good to rehash that with a group of our newer families, and I always enjoy that particular one. And just never really enough time to cover it in all the detail that it needs to, but really, really had a good time there. And just by way of review, we're in the book of Joshua, and we pick it up from chapter 1 and verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Remember this 2.5 tribes they had asked previously from Moses, if they could garner some more land beyond what was promised them. And Moses agrees with that on the proviso that they were to cross the Jordan and help out with the whole capturing of the rest of the land, the promised land. And so he's just reminding them of that. Verse 15, Until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God hath given them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And really we'll focus here in verses 16 down to 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And you look at that theme that's running through this first chapter of this wonderful book of Joshua, is that whole idea of being strong and courageous. And he's being reminded here now as the people respond to really Joshua's challenge to the people. Remember, the first part of the chapter was really a charge that God gives Joshua. We learned about Joshua's charge and understood there that Joshua was given now the leadership after Moses' passing on Joshua's turn now. It was another generation, another season in the history of the people of Israel. And they're about to take on the need to capture the land now as was promised them. And so Joshua, having heard from God, now goes to the people to challenge them about that charge. And remember, we spoke about the need at times before we approach those that perhaps we're leading and we've got stewardship over, that it's a good thing, it's a good prayer request that we would hear from God first, and before we approach. And so now he's approaching them, and we see here that really in Joshua's challenge, there was a certain attitude that they needed to have if they were going to move forward. And by the way, that ought to be our heart's cry, is that we would move forward in the things for the Lord. That it's not about actually looking back per se, looking back to perhaps fill us with great confidence in what God has done, but then an attitude to then move forward in the things that we are being challenged about. And Joshua is now really challenging the people about what is to come. And firstly, we learned that they had an attitude of faith, that they had faith, and Joshua really in this way was leading. He was saying, prepare your victuals, prepare those things that are necessary for you to go. And here's his attitude. His attitude was, we're going to go. We're going to get there. And we're going to cross the Jordan. And you know, there wasn't even any of those doubts. Hey, boys, listen. Listen, you guys listen while we're preaching tonight. No mucking around. But there was an attitude of faith. There was an attitude. And they understood that whilst they were going through this challenge ahead and the obstacles there, that didn't retreat from that. They understood that this was a faith thing, that they needed to trust God in the promises. And so firstly, to go forward, there was an attitude of faith. And what we learned, faith prepares. What we learned is faith predicts, and then faith professes. And they went in to possess the land. But then we noticed also there was an attitude of responsibility. They took on the responsibility. We referred earlier as we were commentating on the reading of Scripture that there was these 2.5 tribes that were given the permission to take on the land prior to the crossing of Jordan. And they weren't myopic about the fact that they had already been given this. Actually, they had the sense of, you know what, we're going to do our bit. And we're going to take the responsibility for the fulfillment of the promise. And there was a real attitude there of just taking on responsibility. You know, sometimes when in the things of the Lord, when things are just going well and we've perhaps already gained what we can gain from the Lord, and the fulfillment of the blessing is already on us, that sometimes we neglect the responsibility that we have in the bigger picture and the responsibility that we have for others. And he reminds them that it was God's provision for them in the first place, that God had provided for them that other side of Jordan. And then it reminds them that there's a prerequisite, though, if they're going to truly find rest in all that God had given them. They're going to have to fulfill their responsibility. And, you know, sometimes, again, as so we try to look ahead, and sometimes in our forward thinking, we think it's just going to be plain sailing, or it's easy to neglect some of the things necessary for us to get done in order for us to complete our task. And we noted that, you know, sometimes in our lives, we've got to then understand that responsibility is the key, actually, in going forward. So now we're up to verse 16. And verse 16 really then is a response of the people. It's not so much now Joshua doing the speaking, but now it's the people speaking. It's now a response to the challenge that was given. And I want to bring to your attention here that it was an attitude that we need even today. We need an attitude of togetherness. And what happened was, as they were given this great challenge from Joshua of the occupation of the land, of all of the things that they had already seen God do, they were right at the precipice of conquering the land. There was still a reminder here that actually they're only going to be able to do this if they do it together. You know, there's a lot of need in the work of God. There's a lot of need even going forward in the promises that perhaps God is revealing to us into our future, into what God has for you. And I want to tell you this. This is just a general universal rule. You're not really going to do it alone. God's going to bring you to partnerships. God's going to bring you to a group. You're going to need your church family to get around you at times. And, you know, in the things that we get to do, there's a bit of that sometimes, you know, the overbearing of things for. And the times that you're going to really move forward is when you recognize that there's others around that will, in a positive sense, come alongside you and come along for the journey and come along to be together in that. And having been buoyed by the challenge of faith and responsibility, people respond now with an attitude of togetherness. And really, Very similarly, they had a choice previous. Remember, even in Moses' time when he sent out a reconnaissance, and that's really chapter 2, we'll talk about the reconnaissance of Joshua's reconnaissance. He's going to go and he's already sent the spies into Jericho and he wants them to see what's happening over there. But these people here, it harks back to an opportunity previously when Moses, the previous leader, had sent out a bunch of spies and they had come back with an evil report. And sadly, the togetherness that they found there was in the negative. There were two dissenting voices for the positive. They said, no, we are well able. But you remember what happened? Because of the togetherness that they had in the negativity, the 10 out of the 12 spies came back with an evil report. What happened was they were plunged into the wilderness journey. They were prolonged in that. And a whole generation died out in the wilderness. Why? Because they found the wrong togetherness. They found wrong unity to be in. You know, I think about the whole story of the Tower of Babel, and remember the previous to that event in history, we know that the people had one language. In fact, the Bible tells us that in Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know, there's great power and togetherness both in the positive and the negative. You know, that whole idea of they just were in one language, they were of one mind, and now nothing will be restrained from them. They were going to do what they set their mind to do just for the mere fact, not that it was a good cause, for the mere fact that they were just together in it. And yet what we find is so often when it comes to just doing right, and when things are presented to us that, you know, it is all about moving the work of God forward, sometimes there's a resistance and a hesitation to then come together in that. And yet the Bible tells us, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a blessing in that. In fact, beyond that, there's a great power in that. And there's a great potential in just an attitude of togetherness. You know, yesterday we went out, and there's a good group of us that went out to do some outreach in our community. And previous to that, we were talking the last Sunday, wasn't it, James and Brother John? We were just talking about that, just the whole concept of two by two, how God sent them out. You know, sometimes you have the time and you want to go alone, but there's a principle in the Bible about going two by two. And part of that is this, that you're meant to be an encouragement one to another. That whilst you can go on your own, there's just a great encouragement if you could go with another person to do the task that God has set out for you to do. And so there's a great power in that to go two by two. And we were talking about some of our experiences. We were talking about how sometimes when you get to the door, yes, you have the one person that's usually talking, but the great encouragement is you have another person, not just for accountability's sake, that can actually stand there and just pray that the Lord would help you. And just that encouragement that there was encouragement at times that when we're undertaking a difficult task for the Lord, it's just encouraging to know that there's others who will come along for the journey. There's others that will come along and be together in it. And as we observe the response of the people here, we understand, firstly, that there was a positive response. Notice verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, this was a new leader. This was someone who Joshua, they had seen serve under Moses in different forms. Firstly, as a younger man who was just really Moses' servant. In fact, one of his main jobs was to wash Moses' hands. And they had seen Joshua come up now through the ranks per se, and now he was the leader, but no doubt he was still the new leader here. But here was their recognition that whilst he was this one now that was doing all the in the position of commanding or challenging, at least there was a positive response from them. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do. And what we first learn is this, a positive response. There was a positivity about what they recognized Joshua was saying here, that this was according to God's will. This wasn't it wasn't a pipe dream. It wasn't a far-fetched request. No, this was part of God's will. And so in recognition of that, there was a positive response. And notice the language they use, all. We will do. And whithersoever that's, we will go. And the people spoke the language of positivity. Now, I'm not talking about just having the power of positive thinking. No, this is the power of positive responding. And they were responding positively. They saw the need for the challenge. They saw the work ahead. They saw the reasons that Joshua gave. They saw the leader's faith, and they just got on with it. They were positive. You know, it's amazing what a difference positive speaking can make to even to a difficult task. You know, when you're with your kids and you're trying to encourage them to do chores, maybe a chore that they're afraid to do or they find a little challenging. And you know, it's amazing how when you get alongside them and you start talking positively about it, like, we can do this, and we can, come on, let's do it together. How much energy and how much willingness then they suddenly show. And you know, sometimes even when there's real challenges and when there's a real, you're going to go through a bit of an endeavoring to get there. You know, it just would do us well when it comes to, if this is the will of God and this is a faith thing, then there ought to be a partnership of positive, just positive responding. You know, positive about what's going on. And you know, we can be so quick to look for holes and look for, you know, well, have you considered this? And there's room for that, I'm saying, but you know, so often what we just need is just some positivity, just a positive response in that attitude of togetherness, that positivity about even the difficult task and speaking positively about what's to come. And really, there's no excuse as God's people, because we have a God who's able. And we ought to have that faith and that responsibility, then the attitude of togetherness. It's a positive response. Secondly, it was also, notice in verse 17, a prescribed response, because really this wasn't new to them. This had already previously been prescribed by another, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. So will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. You know what they realized is this: Moses had his time and now Joshua is going to have his time. But they've heard it before. This wasn't something new. This wasn't something that they had, you know, they had suddenly heard about. No, the promised land was always in the horizon. And even the previous leadership, they spoke about the same thing. And what we find here is really just now another generation that had been raised up with Joshua. And then there was that younger generation who didn't die off in the wilderness, who in some ways they still saw Moses as their leader. But now Moses had passed on the work, and now they're just remembering that he's just speaking like he was speaking. He's just reminding us of what Moses had said. And it was a prescribed response. They had heard about this challenge not only from Joshua, but also from the previous generation. They'd heard this prescription before, and they knew this, that if God's with us, and if God's with you, just like he was with Moses, then yes, we can go. Yes, we will go. Yes, we will take on the promise. Yes, we can move forward. Why? Because they'd heard this challenge before. You know, there's a real need. Sometimes when there's a, in a setting like ours, there's an obvious working in another generation. You know, you look around, there's a good group of our young adults, a lot of them starting out in their lives, getting married, finding new jobs. Alex, you start your new job tomorrow, right? Like there's different opportunities that they're now facing. But you know what's wonderful? They're here at church. You know what's wonderful? We come on a Friday night and there's a good group of teenagers. A lot of them are here tonight. And we're trying to raise another generation. You know what they need to hear? They're going to hear some things that they're hearing maybe for the first time. They're going to hear some things that maybe for them, This is a real challenge. And they need to hear something from the previous generation who had heard it all before. And they're going to need to see that the previous generation is willing to still take on the work and willing to still stand up by faith and willing to still take up the responsibility and then come alongside some of these young ones and say, hey, come on, let's go together. Hey, let's get the work done. Hey, let's get into it. And yes, this is God's will. And let's go. Hey, we heard it all before. You know, just like we hearkened to Moses in all that he commanded, Joshua, as long as God's with you, we're going to go too. And they responded with this togetherness of, you know what? We've heard it before, but we're going to go again. And that's really God's program. See, the Bible tells us one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. There's a need. There's a need. There's a health in a church. There's a health in the work of God when a previous generation is still passionate and is still full of zeal and still full of faith for what's to come. And they may not have the same amount of energy. They may not even have the same amount of go-getting. And yet, there's still enough in the tank to say, let's go. Come on, guys, let's go. And there needs to be that. And there was not only was it in their togetherness really a positive response, not only was it a prescribed response, but notice their attitude in verse 18. Notice he says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And that's pretty strong language, isn't it? You know, they weren't going to muck around. They knew the opportunity ahead. They knew that if they were to cross that Jordan, that all that God had promised was there, all the land that flowed with milk and honey, all of the things that were ahead of them in the horizon of their future, it was all going to come to be. It was all going to be true. And yet they recognize that there might be some who had some negativity. And here's the last thing in their togetherness. They not only did they have a positive response, a prescribed response, but they were a little plucky. You know, they were in it for the fight. And notice what they recognized, whosoever he be that doth rebel. And they used strong language, he shall be put to death. And they were saying, they're not going to take part in this. And what it was, they weren't going to allow perhaps those who just didn't have an attitude of faith. You know what they recognized? They've learned their lesson. They had heard this before. They knew there were those that cost them time in the wilderness because they just wouldn't have faith. They said, we're not going to do that again. If they don't want to come, they're not coming. They said it. We're not going to allow those who didn't follow in faith, who didn't show any amount of a sense of responsibility for the task, said they're not going to get in the way. They've learned that negative talk when God was giving them marching orders to go forward was a mistake. It was a mistake that would cost them their lives. And so they weren't going to stand for it within the camp. And you know, the Bible warns us at times in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And, you know, we have grace and times where we have discussion and times that really, when there's maybe a sense that we're just stuck in our ways, we can have that discussion. But here's the attitude that God wants us to have. We're meant to go forward. We're meant to keep going. We're meant to look at the horizon and, you know, take up the challenge. And we're meant to have that attitude, hey, we're going to do this together. But if not, then, you know, we might have to correct. We might have to warn. And sometimes what I'm saying is we need to be ready to correct those who perhaps express negativity towards God's plan and negativity towards the things that we're supposed to be and do for the Lord. And what I'm saying is if the counsel is right, we ought to listen. You know, but if the spirit is wrong, then we ought to be ready to correct. And Joshua's challenge was clear. You know, we're going to be a little plucky about this. This is going to cost us too much not to go ahead. And what they were saying was this, we're going to do it together. And so Joshua's challenge was clear. He was empowered by God. He had the courage to possess the promised land. And I want to say that our ability to move forward will depend on an attitude of faith. It'll depend on an attitude of responsibility. And in the end, having an attitude of togetherness. And I wonder if we have opportunity as a church, you know, over the course of time to exercise our faith if we'd be ready for it. If there was a time where we would exercise perhaps a recognition that we need to take on the work. And I wonder if we would then be together in it. And if we do that, then we will move forward in God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. And Father, thank you for the ability that we have, dear Lord, to look at history, to look at, Lord, the exploits of others, and Lord, be buoyed by the fact that, Lord, we still have the same God. The same God who wants us to take on new territories per se and to move forward in our faith and our journey for you. And I pray that, Lord, in that time we would show enough courage to then exercise our faith in a real way. And I pray that you'd help us as we get into the, Lord, into the year to just, Lord, have unity and to have a togetherness in the things that you're allowing us to get done. And I pray that you'd bless the church, Lord, as we get into the week. I pray that we'd rely on you. Strengthen us, we pray. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.